You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Hello, you're listening to The Comedy Cellar Show on Raw Dog 99. This is the voice of Dan Natterman, so that means only one thing. Regular listeners know that when I do the announcements, that means that Noam is not here.
Right.
And in this case, he is on vacation with his racially mixed family in Israel.
Attending a wedding, right?
No, I don't think... Is he? I don't know that.
Yeah, I think it's Dorit's daughter.
Oh, maybe it is. Dorit, who used to work here. She was a manager or something?
Yes.
There's some music in the background. Is it? What's that music in the background? Can we turn that down
a
little bit?
It's kind of strange. We don't usually hear the music.
Yeah, there's here inside the Comedy Cellar, they're playing music a little louder than we would prefer. By the way, have you ever been to Dallas?
No, I haven't.
I was just there. Well, last week I was there for a corporate gig. As you know, that's how I earn the bulk of my income.
Correct.
Through corporate gigs, because they're basically you go, you do your gig, you leave. It's not a whole weekend like a comedy club is.
Right.
Which, for various reasons, I don't do very often.
So I'm always curious about this. How do you get corporate gigs out of state? How do they does somebody show them tapes
of
people?
Well, I have a manager. I have a manager with a website, and I call up and they say we want somebody for the. Sometimes they know who I am. That's rare.
Uh-huh.
More often they just go to they're Googling comedians and corporate, and the website comes up, and they call my manager, who's also has a booking agency. And they say, who do you got? And my manager will send several tapes, and they'll say, well, we like this guy.
Oh, so they do send tapes. They get to see clips and stuff.
They send clips. Yeah, a link, whatever.
Right,
and they say, well, you know, and what's your price range? And here's what we got in that price range. I'm in the non-famous price range.
Okay.
It goes up as you... It's all about fame.
But you got to be somewhere in the middle. I mean, you got some decent TV credits and appearances.
No, any lower, they just don't hire, generally, for corporate gigs. There's a certain level. I think there's a certain minimum level of credits that you need to be in that market.
Got it.
And I think I'm at the minimum. I'm not sure. But anyway, I was in Dallas, and I did take the time to go see where Kennedy was shot.
Okay.
Because I'd never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Dealey Plaza.
Yeah.
They got an X on the street.
Do they?
Right where Kennedy was shot.
Interesting.
And people are taking... It's a little bizarre. People are taking pictures on the X.
Is that the only marker? Do they have other... points marked, like where the potential shooter might have been?
But there's a museum in the school book depository on the sixth floor, but it costs $15 to get in.
Oh, come on.
So I decided not to do it. But you know, the school book depository is...
Well, next time you book a gig in Dallas, they got to include an entry to the museum.
That's a good idea. I'll roll it into the fee. But, you know, the school book, you've heard of the school book depository.
Yes.
That's where Oswald, and I assume that when you go up there, there's a museum. It's no longer called the school book depository. It's called I don't know what it's called. And I'm not sure if it's used for anything. But
other than being a historical site.
I got to thinking, are there any other school book depositories? Or is that the only, because whenever you hear the word school book depository,
does that mean? That's like a place where you drop off books.
I think it means where the city or state puts its school books.
The ones that they hand out and
then
collect back?
Yeah, they stick them somewhere, but I figured, I didn't know there was a special building for those.
Well, now they just make you buy the books, I think. Although, I guess in grammar school, give them back.
I don't think you buy the books in elementary. But I just figured...
Not in elementary.
I never thought where they put the... And where do they put the protractors?
I don't know.
And the...
You need a padded room for
those. And the lollipop sticks for arts and crafts. And they're a separate depository. And the teacher's edition probably... goes in.
But I think our schools, we just stored them in the class. I mean,
I just figured they put them in the class. I didn't even need a whole building.
I don't know. But then you're talking about cities where they have their elementary schools have, you know, thousands of kids in them.
Well, New York, I don't know that New York has a school book depository.
No, I don't think we do.
I think everything's on Kindle now anyway.
Well, our public schools are like sharing one book amongst eight kids anyway, so.
Oh, is it that bad here? I grew up in the suburbs. We had our own books. And then you write in the back, you write in the back your name, and then
when you had it,
10 years of other people.
Right, right.
You know,
you
10 years
it before
of,
you.
Yeah, before you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like historical in that sense.
I think everything's online now.
I think it's all Kindle now. I don't know if in the public schools, I know my niece is in college, and I think most of her books were on Kindle.
now all these parents complain about heavy backpacks. You know, the kids can't carry books. They have to roll around those, like, stupid suitcases.
But if it's in Kindle,
stuff,
then you don't have
that's
that
what I'm
problem.
Saying. So now most things that can be are electronic.
Speaking of back, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my back was...
out of whack.
I had back pain. It's better now. So that,
okay. Did you
that's the
did
good
you
news.
Figure out why?
My guess is I just slept wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
But the good news is it's gone. The bad news is now I have no more excuse not to go to the gym. For a couple of weeks, I was really enjoying, you know, being saying to myself, well, I should go to the gym, but I better wait.
Yeah.
Until it's...
Well, now you still got to take it easy because you don't want to re-injure yourself.
That's true.
Think
that
of it that way.
It's very tough when you break gym momentum.
I know. I'm
to
in
go
it right
back
now.
To the gym.
I'm in one right now.
You're in a... In a what?
A gym hiatus, unelected, you know, not a
Well, why
forced.
Are you in a hiatus? Mine was due to injury. What's your excuse?
Mine is due to being overworked. My boss got fired, and so I'm currently
Oh, you don't
doing
make a living from
jobs.
This? You don't make a living from this show?
No, actually, I don't.
The Noam owes us money, by the way. Didn't he say a couple weeks
ago?
Yeah,
he mentioned it and then just never brought it up again.
He never. By the way, also happy birthday to Lou Witsky, who
is
our producer.
Oh, it's his birthday?
It is, and I'm not going to reveal his age because I don't know that he wants me to. But I can only say that he looks a lot younger than he really is. And we do wish happy birthday to Lou Witsky. And
so that means it's also his brother's birthday.
His brother who's visiting. Here with him, who's his brother, Will.
Twin brother.
They are twins, although heterozygotes.
Got it.
I
not
believe
not
is the term.
Fraternal.
No, fraternal
no,
is...
they
not,
are fraternal. Right,
yeah.
Right.
We have some great guests tonight lined
yes.
up. Michael Chafe, the first African-American Weekend Update...
Correspondent.
Yep. Although I'm not sure that that's necessarily... is that a big deal that he's the first African-American Weekend Update correspondent?
Yeah, why not?
Well, because...
First are big deals no matter what.
No, I mean the first... Like, for example... Steve Harvey is the first Family Feud host that's African-American.
Yeah, but
and nobody considers that significant.
Well, because Family Feud is not in anywhere near as significant as SNL to
right, but the first,
TV history.
But my point is the first is Weekend Update in and of itself significant enough?
Yes.
Oh, here's Michael Che now.
It is.
Michael, we were just talking about you, but we were saying you're the first African-American Weekend Update correspondent.
That's true.
Anchor. Yeah, but now I was also posing the question, is that considered a significant thing?
I don't think so. I honestly never thought of it as so until people would say it. I'd be like, I guess. But it's because it's, I don't think it's a job that was like exclusively for any color.
Yeah, it's just the fact is there's been a lot of black cast members on SNL and that kind of covers everything.
Well, you got to think there's like usually two a season. This time there's like four or five, but typically it's like two or seasons, and there's usually about 10 to 12 cast members, so the odds are not necessarily in the favor, and it's also a job that somebody usually does for at least four or five seasons, so it just, you know, I don't know.
America wasn't crying out for an African-American Weekend Update.
I don't think they were. I mean,
I don't think
especially,
was...
I think like after Obama, it's hard to be the first black guy
anything.
that's impressive. I'd have to be like... I don't know what could you be the
you
first
You know they've
black
never had a black
sense.
Letter turner on Wheel of Fortune.
They never had another yeah. letter turner. Period.
They have. That's where you know nothing.
Who?
There was somebody before Vanna White.
Oh really?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Back in the day.
I guess that's like in the early 1900s.
Was she black?
No, she was not. And so you know, but you guys are on hiatus now, though I believe.
We're on break for a few months. So I get to just do stand-up and talk to you guys.
Well, we thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you for letting me join. I always love being on
Well, here. I'm always shocked when people of your stature agree to do the show, and I sometimes wonder whether you're just being nice.
No, I love
feel,
this.
Feel free to say no. No.
I would. Well, I had
With
nothing to do.
Okay. Well, then in that case, and happy.
It's also because Dan longs for the day that he's famous enough to say "fuck you" in your podcast. I'm not doing this show.
I don't. There's only like four or five podcasts I would do. I don't do them all, but like, I'd have to like actually know the people that do it and like have some sort of respect for them in that way. And also, I've done this. I've like bombarded this place so many different times. I think I've been here like four
yeah,
times.
Yeah, usually you come on, but you're not like an actual book
yeah,
guest.
Yeah, I just came for a spot.
You just were in the area, and we said, "Hey, Mike, why don't you have a seat?"
Yeah, exactly.
So you're on hiatus. So you, but this was a question that crossed my mind. Now, recently, we had the horrible shooting in Orlando, And I was wondering, yeah, are you looking? Oh, okay.
I was looking for Lauren.
No, I was wondering whether you would have. You're on hiatus anyway. Cypher, do you want to have a seat?
Yeah.
Cypher Sounds, everybody. I believe
see,
you guys.
See, this is what I would usually do.
Yeah,
I would just be hanging
down.
Around, looking at my phone.
I think you guys work together, don't you?
Yeah,
a lot of Michael Che?
I believe so.
I do have the pleasure of working with him.
You're his opening act?
Sometimes, yeah.
Nobody
Sometimes.
Wants to take me under their wing. Have you noticed that?
I don't know that
no.
you fit in this particular.
No, not in, I'm not saying here.
In all fairness, Cypher booked me before I ever booked him, years before. So
no, I'm not saying That's that true. You should include me. I'm saying that in general, nobody has decided to lift a helping hand to Dan Natterman over the years.
I think
like Louis never asked me to open for him.
I feel like they think you don't need it, which is what people also feel about me. Which I hate.
I think that's true.
Which I hate.
There's a lot of times when I'll be considering like, oh man, I wonder who could do this, and I'm like, they probably wouldn't want to do it, just because I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense, but if it pays, you know, then you know, if it's a good
you.
Paycheck.
No, that's true. The thing. Lately, if I say to myself, nah, he probably wouldn't want to do it. I ask.
Yeah.
Because I hate when people say that about me, and I go, I was home doing nothing. I would have loved to have done that. I would have canceled what I was doing to do what you asked.
Yeah, same with me. A lot of times people, like Hannibal would do that with me. Like I figured you probably wouldn't want to do it. Yeah.
Michael, would you like to open for me at a temple in Staten Island?
Oh, my God. Nothing more than taking a boat to a temple.
$300. No, we're getting
Game
a ride.
Thrones.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
A boat. The rabbi is giving us a lift.
A real exodus.
Oh, I was talking, but I wanted to talk about the Orlando shooting because...
Aren't you glad you sat down?
Wow.
Well, because I think it's very relevant, because as comedians, whenever these horrible events happen, you know, there's always like, well, should we talk about it? Can we talk about it? And would you even touch that on SNL? I mean, with that, would you just kind of not even address
it? We wouldn't touch it the day of or the week of, but we would... Our thing is, if it's too sensitive, we try to find the argument against it, like the argument that it opens, and talk about the discussion, not necessarily the tragedy.
Oh, like
so,
gun control.
Exactly. So you talk about gun control, you talk about homophobia, you'll talk about the way it's been reported, the way the media is handling it, the way the candidates are talking about it, not necessarily the exact tragedy. We wouldn't speculate or we wouldn't say anything that's, you know.
Maybe like the Orlando Tourism Board.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We wouldn't make the millions of gay puns that we've had in our heads.
Right.
We would never do that on TV.
No.
But we would also have to do something.
Has anybody talked about it in their act? I haven't really heard or...
I haven't heard it at all.
I don't think that you... I mean, it's
there's ways to do it. I mean, after 9/11, Chris Rock...
Of course.
You know, did a whole thing, 20 minutes worth of 9/11 shit.
Yeah,
There's just a way to do it. You have to treat
it... But I'm sure he did it in a dark basement amongst, you know, 200 people and not necessarily the day of, on national TV.
No, not on TV, but he did it at the... I saw him at the comic strip. And what he... You know, the trick is you don't make fun of it. What you do is you talk about our emotions and our reaction to it.
You can talk about the emotions. I think with stand-up, there's a longer leash. With stand-up, you can talk about your emotions. You can talk about things like that. But you got to understand, on our show, like for my job specifically, my job's only... I'm 12 minutes, and that's not including features. That's not including Colin. It's just in total, I maybe have 4 minutes on TV. So if I say something in 2 minutes, it's so slight that it always I can never win, because it's not enough that I can cover everything. Where I can show that I understand the emotion, still make it funny, still make a point. You still be silly. Like, you can't do all of that in 2 minutes.
Right.
You know, so you might as well not even bring it up, because it'll never be fulfilled. Now, if you're Jon Stewart and you have 30 minutes to fill where you can go through it, you know, bit by bit, then it's a little bit easier. If you're doing a stand-up and you could talk about it for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, then it's something that people feel a little bit more, they don't feel cheated. But for me, it'll be so slight because I don't have much time. Yeah, I can't come up with a one-liner about
a
mass shooting. Right. It's like, it sucks, you know?
I found that... I'm sorry, Chris.
No, just to say, but how does that work as far as writing goes for those... Like, do you have, like, you know, crisis response teams or, like, people that are ready to go when something happens? Because I would assume a lot of that stuff is prepared in advance.
That's why we go more toward the discussion that it opens, because then it's kind of more stock stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can say about gun control. There's a lot of stuff you can say about homophobia. There's a lot of stuff you can say about politicians using this as, you know, for one way or the other, or the way the media is covering. There's a lot of things you could say about that that's not necessarily so sensitive right now. But if you're talking directly about the tragedy in 2 minutes and trying to be funny, you're going to sound like a dick.
Right.
So it's a little harder.
I found that in my stand-up, I've avoided the past week even talking about, even mentioning the word gay. Like, I have jokes that, I don't make fun of gay people, but I have jokes about, you know, like, gay bars have funny names like the manhole.
Right.
And I won't even tell those jokes. I feel it's just even mentioning the word gay is too sensitive.
Yeah, I feel you. Like, your senses go up with those certain jokes that you already had for years or however long. And then there's, like, a certain word that you're like, oh, the timing won't work because of what's happening in the universe right now. You know what I'm saying? You can't say gay or gun or whatever. Florida.
Right. Yeah, there was somebody here from Florida the other night, and I forgot who was on stage. I forgot who the MC was. She said, where are you from? And the guy said, Florida.
Yeah,
and then he said, where in Florida? I'm like, if this motherfucker says Orlando,
it's the worst.
We're in big trouble. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was some other town. But even that, even Florida.
That's a normal hosting of a comedy show. Hey, where are you from?
Right.
And if someone says Florida, you can instantly feel the tension in the room, like, because it's all in the news. It's in the ether. It's in the ether at the moment. So you don't.
As opposed to what other week?
I was just
going to
say.
Florida's always in the fucking ether for something
Florida,
terrible.
Yeah, but stuff you can make fun of.
But doesn't that go against the essence of being, like, a stand-up comedian that we always talk about and being able to find the funny? Are there just...
Well, I think
if
I would have been there, I would have said just what I said. I said, where in Florida, and don't say Orlando, or you're going to fucking kill the mood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying you can't make a joke about it. Yeah, I'm just saying when the crowd will, you can feel it on stage when someone says Florida and everyone in the room is like, you know? Not saying if you're a skilled professional that you can then turn that tension into funny.
Right.
You know, but
it
is
going to
get
tense. Though, personally. Like, I say stuff. It doesn't matter to me.
During stand-up, you mean?
Yeah,
during,
I mean now. Like, recently, I've been saying, like... Liz is laughing because she's heard it. But I'll say it, and, like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But to me, it's like...
About
everything.
About it. You've talked about Orlando once?
But I don't go deep into it. I don't think so. I don't go too far into it, but I definitely try. Because there's something in there, and it's, you know, and I got a special tip.
Well, you know, there's... I mean, that is...
It's all about the craft.
What do you want me to do? I'm like, it's my job. But I think people want it, honestly. Yeah. I honestly think people want it. I think if you ask them, they'll say absolutely not. But if you give it to them and they like it, they're like, oh, shit, man, I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah.
It's why they come out for comedy. If you're that broken up, then you probably aren't outside.
Yeah.
If you're outside, you want to see comedy... Chances are 1 in 5 people are going to mention some shit that you feel
and it's the only place where you can hear that.
And if you don't like it, that's fine. If you didn't like it, I have jokes that a lot of people don't like that has nothing to do with anything. It's not even personal. You just don't like it. That's fine. You move on. Right?
We
shall rise.
Very seldom are people that bent out of shape that there's... I don't read the emails. Liz would know in terms of people complain...
I actually saw an email this week from people people complaining about the show.
What were they complaining about?
It was a bunch of things, but there were some racial, you know, they didn't appreciate certain racial things. I mean, you just never know.
Well, racial, they
just
do
never
get.
Know.
I just don't know if people complain because you brought up a topic that's sensitive or.
Well,
you know.
To them, racial.
No, I know, but I'm.
Are a
but
sensitive that, topic.
I know, but I'm saying. An event.
The kind of people, like, that's not even something I thought you could do, is complain and leave a letter at a comedy show. That's not even something I would even think, before, because I've gone to comedy shows maybe 10 years before I started comedy. So, like, I love comedy shows. It's never crossed my mind that, I could write a letter and tell people which jokes didn't like. So, like, I feel like that about Yelp reviews. Like, when you see something that's poorly reviewed, and you read the review, and they're like, "The delivery man was very nasty, and the pasta was all to the one side." And they must, and I'm like, "Really? That's the kind of person that takes the time to write something?" Yeah. I've had miserable experiences. I've never written to somebody about it.
Right.
Maybe a tweet, but that's it. Like, it's not at the company though. It's like at my friends.
Yeah.
My We're talking about how, like, you know, you're talking about how on Weekend Update, if they have, like, you know, the, what is it, crisis team?
Like like companies have, like, crisis response teams.
But my my friend Brian Steinberg, did you ever do an interview with him? He works for Variety. Does that name ring a bell?
Possible. I don't know.
Well, whatever. But anyway, he wrote an article in Variety about, in fact, I invited him down here, but he couldn't make it for various reasons. But he wrote an article about Weekend Update, and he was talking about how you're changing things up because now you're trying to get more last-minute shit going in there.
I mean, that's not... I think it's more you just open up... the thing about Weekend Update is it's been done for 30, 40 years before I did it. So there's a lot of things that are, this is the way we do things, and this is the way... this is just the way the show is, you know? So it's like there's a reason for it in a certain way. There's a reason why they need cue cards instead of prompter. There's a reason why they need, you know, X rather than Y. But there's other things that it's just because we've been doing it that way.
Right.
So a lot of times we'd have to like, well, what does this thing do? Well, let's knock this wall down. And it was certain things like video. They never played video on it. And so I was working at The Daily Show first, and we would always have video. We'd have a guy that watched everything on the fucking news and told us what people said that was silly, and that's what we got our bits from. So we didn't have that at SNL. We didn't have video. We didn't have, you know, kind of corresponding, or even just the way you see like Pete and Leslie when they just go to camera and just do bits. Those are stand-up bits, and nobody really did that on the show as much. They might have did it a long time ago, but recently it just everybody's been a wacky character, and everything had to have some kind of comedic, you know,
like kitschiness to it.
kind of like some kind of comedic logic, some kind of sketch logic of this is why this person's here, as opposed to here's Pete Davidson saying something
funny.
And it works because it's like, well, that's, I've seen these guys do it at clubs with no setup and no wig.
Right.
So why would they need one now? Just let them fucking talk to the camera.
And those are the funniest nights when those are the best ones.
And they just lock in and then they stay on one topic. Right. But you see, it's like they get 3 minutes to just talk about one thing and they build it comedically. It's easier to do something that way as opposed to you got 1 minute or one punchline and then move on to the completely next story.
Right.
You don't tell jokes that way.
Right.
You build it and then you
but
punch
you don't
it
even
up.
Get that. You don't even get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't
minutes.
Even get to get that.
And you're
yeah,
on
so
there every week.
Yeah. It's harder, but it scores them faster, though.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's something that people just have to kind of get in the rhythm of watching it, you know?
Yeah.
I always feel like we're like step-parents in comedy. Like, you know, a lot of people have to go through a step. Like, I think Trevor goes through a stepdad thing where it's like people just have to get over the fact that they're not watching John right now.
Yeah.
And they're going to look for a million things to not like about it because it's not dad.
Right.
We want dad back.
Yeah.
And then you have to realize, oh, dad's not coming back.
Dad's gone.
We like this guy, but this guy's different and he's good. You know what I mean?
Father's dead.
And father's gone, you know? It's a lot of, I feel like a lot of, you know, people have to go through that. So it's, for us, with Weekend Update, people cherish it so much that if it's not the way that it was when they grew up, then they're like, well, this is wrong. That's not Norm. Bring Norm back. I was like, Norm's not coming back. Tina's not coming back.
Right. So next season it'll again be you and Colin.
Next season will be me and Colin.
Coming back. By the way, how are you fixed for writers over there in terms of the Weekend Update writing staff? Because, you know, I've just started. I'm submitting now for Fallon as a writer. Now, they're not looking for anybody.
Is this an audition?
It's not an audition, but I think it's nice to weep. It's nice to... integrate.
This is a man if
we have writers, but we also take submissions too.
Look at that.
That like opens the door for writing.
You mean like I would email shit in, like email jokes?
Yeah, but I mean that's how we get writers. Like I think like maybe two of the four writers we got, maybe three.
I'm too old
whatever,
for that.
Whatever.
Three of the four writers we got because they were submitting and we're like, well, let's get this guy. He's really
whatever
funny.
You're about to say, Dan.
I'm too old to be submitting.
No.
Cut that out, man. That's your problem. I gotta go downstairs. Cut that out.
Right,
you're not too old.
How is that possible? How are you too old? I don't even understand that.
No, not that I'm too old. It's just like, you know.
How are you too old to submit but not too old for the job?
You think
it's
beneath you?
I'm not
too,
it's not beneath me. It's like people, those are usually like the young bucks starting up.
No.
Emailing shit in.
You're a young buck as an SNL writer.
Brennan would send stuff in sometimes.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That cantankerous.
And I got some stuff on it. Well, he used to be a writer.
No, I know that.
And he was sending some stuff. I used a couple things from him.
What does that pay?
I have no
you're
idea.
You're not allowed to. Oh, yeah, you're not, you're not in the accounting office.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, because like Fallon, I talk to people over there. They're not looking for anybody right now, but they're like, well, we are always like keeping an eye out, so you never know. So send in a couple weeks' worth of monologue jokes.
See, I think that's worse because this way you just, I mean, if you, you look at, because we send you the headlines, we send you the premises, and you look at it, and if you got something on it, you just send a couple. And then we read them, and you know if we use
well,
them.
Well, that would work if I had a good kill ratio. That is, if like you know, I was if I
you
had
could send 10 on one topic. You could right. you pick.
But depending on how many they were using of mine, would be whether it was worth doing it or not. You know, because if I had to send 30 to get one used, it probably wouldn't. You know, if that was my ratio.
I don't know.
Hey, Dave Juskow is here.
I couldn't tell you what
I'll be honest with you. I want to, you know, I don't even, writing is not my, that's not my number one
bag.
Well, I'd rather just be a big star. I'll tell you what
all right, but.
You'd
you
rather
know,
be a big star yeah. than a writer?
Yeah.
Why? I'd rather win the lotto.
You need to explain that to me.
I'd rather sit on my ass on the beach and do nothing at all. But apparently in this world, you got to work to make money.
Yeah.
Really?
It seems to be how it works.
Go figure.
I don't know. I think I would rather be a writer
You'd
than
be
sit
a
on a beach. Yeah.
Well, you sit on the beach, but you can come here
sand.
And do comedy. Yeah, you don't have to sit on the beach, but the point is, you know, you can do it.
So you're saying Ray Allen has the best of both worlds.
No, well,
he gets the beach and he gets the...
No, but he has to work. He goes to the beach and he works on the beach.
Runs but, his fingers, his luxurious hair.
But I'm saying I got to do something. I'm figuring I'm at a crossroads.
They should do like a Godfather scene where he wakes up and his ponytail's like in his... like the somebody cut his ponytail off and just
like
put
the
it in
horse
the
head.
Put it in the bed right next to
well,
him.
He
just
cut
screams.
It. He doesn't have the full ponytail
anymore.
Oh, no,
he cut his hair now.
Oh, did he cut it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where's Dave Juskow? Just speaking of the Godfather,
he's doing the Tom Papa show.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
The here? live show.
Anyway, you know, I'm just gonna. You mind if I read a couple of monologue jokes that I wrote to?
Sure.
Please.
To submit to see if.
I can't
as long as you want honest feedback.
Are they all about Orlando?
No,
what yes, any about Orlando for Jimmy Fallon? Because I think he would love
it's
to ask.
It's Orlando, and it's all about Orlando, and it's about the kid that got eaten by an alligator.
I think Jimmy could really use some.
That's what he needs.
No, that's the point. You have to write jokes that are that he would
it's
do.
It's very right. hard to. That's a very interesting thing that you just said. You gotta write in someone else's voice. Not everybody can do that. A lot of people write stuff, and you're like, yeah, well, you do it, but. It doesn't sound right. I would never say those words.
And for a monologue for that show, it can't be anything like, you know, you have to talk about nice, happy stuff.
Yeah, it's a little PG.
So it's like, you know, you can't talk about what's really going on. But here's one. So a couple of these are probably not appropriate for Fallon, but the mayor of London, I don't know if you heard about this, Chris Montella. The mayor.
That's
of
a good start. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah, well, that's kind of talk show. I didn't actually write that.
That's great.
I don't know if you heard about this, but
you got to write that. Yeah.
Should I write that actually in the...
I would write that. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about this, but...
The mayor of London has banned subway ads to promote unrealistic body images of women.
I did read about that.
That's interesting to me. The ban's mainly targeted at unnaturally thin women, but since it's England, unrealistic body images include women with tans.
It's good.
You don't have to laugh, Michael.
I like it. I think that's good. That's a good, we call that a soft joke.
Yeah.
Oh,
it doesn't hurt anybody, but it's very funny. And
right.
even if you're from England, you can laugh at it.
Right.
That's the ballpark you want to be in.
You know,
the
Bagnati, that's London's first nude restaurant. This is interesting. Recently opened its doors. It's a nude restaurant. Needless to say, cameras are banned in the dining area, as are students and faculty from the nearby Royal Drawing School. All right, less on that.
Okay, all right.
Okay, less
a little
on
wordy,
that.
Little wordy.
A little much, yeah.
Oh, this is a good one, I think. I'll just do one more. And then we'll get to our other guest, who is someone.
He's already done with this.
The Russian track and field team has been banned from the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. I don't know if you heard that, Michael.
No, I didn't hear about this.
It's interesting because of the Russian government involvement in procuring performance-enhancing drugs for their athletes.
Okay.
So they're banned. Now, the response of the Russian athletes, as you can imagine, has been disappointment and anger, as well as irritability, trouble sleeping, acne, heart and liver damage, and increased risk of blood clots.
Very good.
Not to mention impotence and reduction of sperm production.
And there you go. That's a two-hander, and there's a clap. When you rattle it off like that, people will be very excited to hear you get through it.
It's a break.
Yeah, it's pretty
break.
Good.
That's good.
That's very usable.
Very okay.
That is in the ballpark of what we need.
Now, if you want one more, raise your hand.
One more.
Does anybody want one more?
Oh, yeah, yes. I would love one more. Oh,
okay. I don't see a hand up from Chris, but...
Yes, well, no one can see a hand that's listening, so...
Okay, British...
Theater of the mind, Dan.
British astronaut Timothy Peake just landed safely back on Earth after 6 months in the International Space Station.
All right, that I didn't know.
Yeah, that he was the first British... Englishman to walk in space.
Okay.
Wow.
That's interesting. And you may know that also that Elton John was the first Englishman to walk in a pair of $18,000 red crystal shoes.
Okay.
That was a few years back.
All right.
A pair of red crystal... Ed, did you hear about this? Is he still on the air?
Oh, man. Johnny, I think he's pretty dead now.
Ed is dead.
This one is probably a no-go. In a recent survey by the American Customer Satisfaction Index, Chick-fil-A ranked number one among fast food restaurant chains.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just behind Chick-fil-A in the survey, Chick-fil-A minus. Chick-fil-A minus. I don't think there's any topping that joke. So I'll just...
Definitely not. Chick-fil-A minus.
That's... oh, my God.
If I Google Chick-fil-A minus, my guess is something will pop up.
Oh, man.
You ever, like,
I don't know. I don't think that... I think
it's
you're
not
good.
Obvious enough.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Do you ever like Google something you thought of just to see if anybody else thought of it and other people thought of it?
I had a writing partner that would do that because like we would come up with sketch ideas and he'd be like, somebody had to do it. It's too good. And then, sure enough, somebody did it.
Don't you have, and
they've done it very poorly.
But don't you have to have does SNL have a team that checks that kind of stuff? Like so that
no.
you're not accused of, you know.
Oh no. And we've been accused. People accuse us all the fucking time.
Really?
You know what's so funny? Is that they accuse us of stealing everything. If any idea's ever been done that we've done it, we've definitely stole it. They think all we do is watch college comedy with 649
right.
views on YouTube or
right.
some shit. But they always want us to repeat the things that other people on the show have done. They always want us to do shit that Eddie Murphy's done. And
right.
like,
right.
it's already been done. Why do you want to see that? But then if we do something that someone else has done somewhere else, they're like, oh, you fucking thieves, you hacks, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that in the billions of... And now with YouTube and everything, there's bound to be somebody somewhere that thought of something kind of similar to something.
Yeah, comedy is not that fresh, man.
And I try not to... Like, my rule is, like, you know, I won't Google it because it's just... It'll be too heartbreaking, and I figure if I came up with it, it's mine anyway. I mean, if I didn't copy from somebody else, I figure I can use it.
Right.
I've had somebody tell me, accuse me of stealing a joke that they tweeted, and I'm like, well... You think I follow you on Twitter? Like,
Yeah, how would you even know that?
How would I fucking know? I don't know who you are. Where would I get
that
information from?
Well, that accusation is steal. I mean, yes, there are people that steal, and that's got to be taken seriously. But Amy Schumer recently went through a slate of accusations along those lines, you know, and so you know, we're all subject to that. Let's get
Mr. Curtin.
I forgot your name, sir.
Curtin. Andy Curtin.
Andy Curtin.
Either way.
Left at,
no. I honestly thought you had a milk stash.
No. He's got a white mustache. That is interesting.
I do, yeah.
He has a white mustache, but the rest of your beard is brown.
Yeah, well,
So either he has a milk mustache or a chocolate milk beard.
It's my cocaine stash.
Cocaine stash.
That's where I came
from. I think you're doing it wrong,
Andy Curtin. Now
shouldn't be that low.
No, I've got a very numb upper lip.
God damn!
Can't feel my face.
Do you know Michael Che? He's a big star here in America.
I do. Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, he's a B level anyway.
He's,
right? Yeah.
He's a very tall star. No,
maybe a big
he
star
took it right
in
down
the
a
cellar.
Peg.
Are you B level or C?
I would say D.
You
no.
say
oh, come
G.
on! What are you talking about?
I don't know, man.
International, known around the world, I would say. I'm not trying to blow.
Is
smoke,
that English or Australian accent? You
Australian accent, but thank you for trying to upgrade it a little bit, maybe.
Well, okay. I didn't know that was necessarily an upgrade. I see Australians as equally worthy in their own way.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
He thinks very lowly of both.
Better in a lot of ways.
He thinks they're both shit.
equally as yes, not not. But you're a comic. Is that it?
I am. Yes.
And I'm told comedy's becoming very international, you know, Michael.
Yeah,
is. I'm the Michael Che of China, actually.
That's Michael Che.
Che, sorry, Che. There you go.
I read on Wikipedia he was named after Che Guevara.
You know, people say Che, people say Che. I don't mind it either way. More people get upset when they hear Che than I do. I could care less. I know who you're talking about.
But it's Che, like Che Guevara.
Yes, it is. It's Che like Che Guevara.
Okay. Maybe another time we'll get into your parents' political leanings and what
prompted them. My father was a big history buff. He loved Che Guevara, and my mother doesn't know who Che Guevara is. So they're divorced, and they don't...
They're
that
divorced.
Just goes to show you.
Does she still use that name for you? Or
she calls me Mike. She calls me Mike.
No, but Che's your official middle name.
Yeah, my name's Michael Che Campbell.
Michael Che Campbell.
My dad named me Che. My mother named me Michael.
Well, I never knew that until recently when I Wikipedia'd you.
Yeah, people are very disappointed when they find out that Che is not my last name.
Because I think it's a wonderful last name.
It's a great name.
I mean, you know.
So you, I understand. So anyway, comedy's becoming very international. As I was just talking to a... The French are invading, by the way. There's, you know, Gad, our French friend,
oh, yeah.
Works here. Gad,
He's amazing. Very funny.
And there's some other French guy was in town today doing...
Jerry Lewis.
No, well, he's not French.
Oh, yeah.
He's just big over there. But, you know, there's a lot of French comics trying to do comedy now in English. And English comedy is also spreading all over the world in non-English-speaking countries. They're watching English comedy. So our dear friend Andy Curtin, was it?
Yeah, that's it.
Is booking comedy in Singapore or something like that?
Wow.
Shanghai.
Oh, Shanghai.
Yeah, I know the guys in Singapore, but I own a club in Shanghai.
Okay. Oh, you're a club owner.
Wow. Yeah.
Shanghai.
And I have rooms in 22 different cities around China.
Ni hao ma.
Wo hen hao. Ni na?
I just know ni hao ma.
That was good. You got to get the reaction in there as well.
All I know is gong hei fat choy.
What does that mean?
That's actually Cantonese. But
oh, sorry.
So Shanghai is Mandarin.
Yes.
Well, the whole country is Mandarin. You know, people think that more people...
Where's Sichuan?
Sichuan is a province. That's not... Well, it's not a dialect because there is a Sichuanese dialect. This is getting way too far into this.
I only know about what's on the menu.
Yeah.
Right. But people think...
That's what I meant.
If you can't cook, you don't exist.
Where can I get General...
I can't cook.
Is General Tso's chicken widely available?
Every corner, they got General Tso's chicken.
Can't assign a letter and a number to it.
Was General Tso a Mandarin or Cantonese?
He's actually the president of China currently.
Okay, General Tso. So you have a...
General Tso's like General Motors, where it's just... It's right. Not really
Do you know what?
General.
I'll tell you something. They just recently opened an American-style Chinese restaurant in Shanghai called the Fortune Cookie, and it has, like, I haven't been there, but, like, the stuff that you guys have here instead of real
like
Chinese
chicken
food.
And broccoli.
Yeah, this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Shout out to the Chinese for bringing broccoli to the hood.
Yeah. Fortune Cookies are not actually...
They're helping. It's healthy.
Veggies.
Fortune Cookies are not actually a
fortune
Chinese...
Cookies.
There was
are
no...
That's
Simon, you back me up on that, right?
What was that?
Cypher's
back. There was
everybody.
No... Broccoli in the hood before
not
the Chinese.
Not at all. Yeah, thank you.
So, but what about orange juice? Are you still drinking orange drink up that way? I remember because Dave Chappelle had a whole thing about we didn't have orange juice.
No,
yet.
We got orange juice.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just being curious.
Is that where your knowledge comes from when it's not on Wikipedia? It's through
Chappelle's
sets?
Yeah.
There's no grape juice.
There's no grape juice.
Oh, there's
grape
no grape
only
juice.
Only in church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that was it. Cypher's back. Cypher, we're talking to our dear friend Andy Curtin, our new friend. He owns a comedy club in Shanghai.
Nice.
Shanghai Nights. Is that what you call it?
At
night? Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard that expression before. Is that
Isn't
a
that
thing?
Like a movie, Shanghai Nights?
Oh, what is that, like Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson? Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm not a...
And are you in New York recruiting people to go over there? Is that what you're doing here?
Well, I'm kind of I've taken a break for 2 months and I'm just out here doing a few shows and, you know, I work with a lot of people from New York anyway. So, you know, sort of touching base with people I haven't met.
He's selling Gucci
yet.
Purses.
Exactly. I'm smuggling babies. That's what I'm doing. I'm selling babies. You want to buy a baby?
So this is English-speaking comedy, obviously.
We do Mandarin. I do comedy in Mandarin.
Well, you do comedy in Mandarin?
I do, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, and that's a scene as well. They're pretty separate, the two scenes, although the club has both.
What's like the what else in Mandarin? Like, you know when you have nothing else to do? Nothing else to say in the set to start going like, what else?
What else I got?
You know the answer to this, do you?
No, I don't.
You really don't know this?
No, I really don't.
Because there's
know.
A... Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It
RZA
sounds like
me.
The N-word.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, shit. Did I stumble upon gold?
You didn't know that?
I swear to God, I did not know that.
I thought you were trying to set me up. You're
absolutely
like,
not.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, what's
well,
that
no,
word?
Will Smith has a joke about that where he went to China and nega is the word.
That's it. Yeah.
Nega means what else?
But it's even there's an even sure more specific pronunciation that's getting too close for my disposition. But
and what does it mean, though?
It means, well, it literally means that, but it's something that people will say when they are thinking of what to say next.
Like so, a pause. Yeah.
So they would say, you know.
Yeah, the RZA told me when he was out there shooting that movie, The Man with the Iron Fist, he said that the first couple of days, everybody, he was like, why is everybody saying the N-word to me? And they're like, no, it's not the N-word.
Yeah, yeah. Only some of what they are saying is the N-word.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's only half the time.
It's only 50%.
Well, is there an N-word in China? Because black people are not numerous over there.
There is, but it's not like a common... It just literally translates to black ghost. Which sounds weird, but like that ghost word gets thrown around for foreigners all the time.
Black
so.
Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Like saying alien.
Kind of, yeah. It's like foreign thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's ghost.
UFO.
It
you're
ghost.
UFOs.
Why don't you call somebody an alien?
You black alien.
I'm How on, UPOs.
It's getting racy.
How on earth did you learn Mandarin enough to do comedy in that language?
I mean, I've been there for 7 years.
That's amazing.
I know motherfuckers in America for 30 years don't speak English well enough to, you know.
And to, you know,
I mean, Tawil in the kitchen. You know Tawil, our dear friend Tawil in the kitchen over here, the kebab guy?
Yeah.
That motherfucker can't speak
kebab
English.
Kebab guy.
And he's been here like for probably 20 years. And but anyway, so 7 years, and did you speak a word of Mandarin when you got there?
I thought I did. But then I found out really quickly that I did not.
It's like all about the pronunciations, right? And
the
tones.
Well, that's the thing. It's really hard to start because it's really hard to be understood. Like if I said, I speak Russian as well. If I said something to you in Russian, you could probably repeat it and a Russian speaker would understand.
Right.
But in Chinese, you're like, okay, I got this. I'm saying it. And then you say it and they look at you
because
like, what are you saying?
The tones
ghost?
Are important.
Yeah, there's the tones and there's sounds that we don't have in English.
And already you sound Australian, so right. Like that's gotta be maybe as far.
Fucking ni hao.
He's putting meat
and
on the end of
like,
everything.
It's not like you know if you learn say if you learn say Spanish, many of the words will be familiar to us.
Right,
you can
figure
it out.
You'll say no problemo.
Oh right. Yeah, no, yeah.
No problemo.
Just add an O.
I don't know, and that'll work for some words.
It's not even right. But
not
okay.
Really. You know what?
But in Mandarin,
no problemo.
Right? Isn't that, it's no problemo, right? No.
Problema. Yeah. It's an A.
Wait, but you know what I'm talking about.
Donde está el baño, mate?
There you go, mate.
But in Chinese, there's very few words that are similar. So problem is probably something like hanky.
Well, good guess. Very close. Do you speak Chinese? No. The answer to that question is what you're talking about is usually a transliterated word. It's a word that's come from the language, and they've taken it. But when the Chinese do that, it's almost unrecognizable. Like, for example, the word from McDonald's.
Yeah.
My dung lao. You're never going to guess
it.
That sounds kind of close phonetically.
Because you knew ahead of time.
Exactly.
But if someone says to you,
yeah,
where's Ming Nang Lao, you would never understand.
You'd be like, I don't know.
It's like
know.
A Picasso portrait where it's like, it's kind of a face.
It's just rearranged.
I wouldn't put an ear there.
It's sort of a clock, but I couldn't tell off it.
The blue period.
I do comedy in French. You may or may not know that. So this is a particular interest to me.
I remember when you told me the last time we met that you don't remember, but that's fine.
Oh, I meant it before.
Dan.
Well, he probably didn't have the milk mustache at the
time. Oh, you would have now I know. If I want you to remember me, I got to have
I can't forget that.
Facial disfiguration.
But like French, like Spanish, so many of the words, you can't even... Learning French, and I've been studying for 10 years, and I'm still not where I want to be, and that's a language that's very close to English.
Have you been to France?
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Is it harder when you're there? Like, do you feel like you know it more, or do you feel like you know it less when you go?
Speak it more or less?
Speak it, yeah.
No, I don't know. I think neither. Okay. You know, when I go to Quebec, I really feel like I don't speak it because I can't understand their accent very well. Mm. And it's roughly the same language, but not quite.
So they're like hillbilly French.
Yeah, but worse. Like, in other words, like we can understand hillbillies. But even French people that go to Quebec sometimes have trouble. And Quebec films in Quebec and TV shows that are exported to France are often subtitled for the French audience because it is much more different. English from England and English from America are much more similar than Quebec French is to French.
Oh, interesting.
Fascinating.
They have different words. Some of the grammar is different in the spoken language. But it's
Scottish and like Irish. When you hear that, I'm like, when they get rolling, you're like, I don't know what the fuck.
You're like train spotting. If you saw train spotting,
I had subtitles on for that.
Or Benny Hill. Sometimes I'd be like, he looks funny, and I'm laughing because he's a funny personality.
But even in the U.S., you get somebody from, like, Louisiana sometimes, or they got that, bayou.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't understand what the fuck they're saying.
Creole kind of.
I like the line from Snatch. You know, Dennis Farina, the only American character in that movie, gets to England. He says, hey, I've been here for a week. No one speaks the fucking language here.
That's true.
I think in the north of England, as you go north, it gets even more tricky.
Wait, can we go back? Did you say you book 20 clubs? You book clubs in 20 cities?
No. I have a club, which is 7 nights a week, open in Shanghai.
Okay.
And then we have rooms in other cities.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, like in Suzhou, there's a bar that we have a permanent room at, and we're there every week.
Do people come out and say, Suzhou, well, my career is really taking off?
Yeah, they do, actually. Everyone opens with that. Everyone. It's embarrassing, because they don't realize that everyone saw the last guy say that. So,
and there's enough comedians to fill those rooms? Doing comedy?
I mean, there's a lot of flow, you know. So the comics move around. Like, I go around Asia a lot. Like, I was in Hong Kong 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and then I was in Taiwan last month, and then those guys come out. So there's a lot of flow from there. And then in Shanghai, for the cities outside of Shanghai, it's the comics from Shanghai that go out there to do shows. They don't live out there. And then every month we bring a guy from the US or, you know, from outside of China, like a proper headliner to come and do like a run of shows, maybe a week of shows. And that fills
up
the calendar.
So they speak English?
Well, these are the English shows.
Oh, I got you. You have
for the
separate
Chinese,
shows.
It's totally separate. Even for like the Chinese people that like the English stand-up, they tend to not like the Chinese stand-up.
Got it.
And then the ones that like the Chinese stand-up don't speak English.
Right.
I mean, what you know, you got to have a pretty high level of language to be able to follow comedy. That's like the pinnacle
sometimes,
of speaking a language.
Sometimes what happens is, like in Paris, they have an English comedy. They have a lot of English comedy. And so half the audiences are expatriates that are from England or the United States, and the other half are French people. But oftentimes the French people think they speak English because they understand, you know, each other when they speak. You know, they speak English enough to understand each other or to understand in class. But then they come to a comedy show and they hear at full speed with all the slang, and then they're lost.
Yeah. Well, you know, Shanghai has the number one population, I think, for foreigners there, French people. And they come there and they barely speak English, some of them, and they barely speak Chinese. And I don't know how they get around, but they all hang out with each other, you know.
What kind of comedy is popular in Shanghai? Like,
you know, I mean, I think that, you know.
Def Jam.
Def Jam, everyone does. The crowds either like you or hate you from the beginning, and they throw
shit at you. A lot
of
Take My Wife jokes. Yeah. One-liners.
You know, comedy's so international now. There's so much access.
I would love to see the Chinese Def Jam comic. big yellow suit.
Kick it!
Well, no, because you see, like, they have those crazy, like, Asian game shows.
No,
they do all these,
it's
like,
not
ridiculous
like that.
Things. So I'm just curious what the sense of humor, I mean, not that you can encapsulate an entire, you know, country's sense of humor in one bite, but
it's tough to say, you know, because when you're doing English stand-up, you know, the benchmark is everyone knows American stand-up. It's online. It's in podcasts. That's kind of the source of
the gold standard
that defines it. But then you get to Chinese stand-up and it's totally different. You know, sometimes you get a magician thrown in there. You just never know. And the TV, like SNL has now set up SNL China.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. And they've just been out here, you know.
There's an SNL Egypt too. There's like an SNL Mexico.
And so the guys that do SNL China.
Mexican Jimmy Fallon is maybe the best.
Mexican.
They have a Mexican Tonight Show, and it's pretty much the same exact show.
He does karaoke and
pretty much
the
same.
Wheel of Imitations.
The one difference is he's dressed and painted like a clown.
Oh, God.
Like, every night. Like,
every
that's
night.
His,
yeah,
that's
like
his
it's
suit.
Just, he's just a clown.
Red nose?
Other than that's the same show.
I think I saw that, actually.
Kind of, desk.
It's kind of fantastic. Yeah. Pretty funny. It's so bizarre. It's just like, why?
Well, you kind of see the absurdity when you can't understand it.
Yeah.
You
know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you see these, like, you see sometimes just shows. Like, I was watching this clip on, I don't know, YouTube or whatever, from this Asian game show where they had to, the guys had to oil themselves up and like try to slide naked around like a track, and whoever made it around won. Or I mean,
oh,
I don't know.
That.
Just
that's Japanese, right?
Japanese. Yeah.
I don't know what country.
Japanese
game
Japanese
shows are
fucking
like that.
Bonkers.
But like,
you ever see the one where the guy is like, he's a porn star. This guy is a porn star, and they tell him, we're going to get somebody to give you a blowjob, and you can't finish.
Oh, I've seen
for
this.
Like 30 minutes. You got to go 30 minutes without being able to finish.
No, I
like,
saw one.
And he's like, I'm a professional. That you can't. Right. There's no blowjob that good. Right. The gate opens, and this is this chubby dude. And the porn star dude starts laughing, and he was like, I mean, not only are you a guy, but you're not even a good-looking guy.
Right.
And the guy is like, I'm very good at what I do.
I bet you
he
is.
Will finish. And he's like, there's no way you're going to make me right. finish. He's like, I'm going to make you finish. So they put like this box in front of this guy, and he goes under the box, and he's just, you hear these, the strangest noises.
Suction
like
noises.
Like the strangest suction noises. And the guy is just flinched like, ugh. He's very good. he goes up to like 27 minutes, and he's like, ah, he's very good.
He is a very good
He knows exactly what he's doing.
There's one where you have to sing while you're being jerked
yeah,
off.
That one, too. You got to do like karaoke
yeah,
you're
singing
a
while you're
job.
Doing being jerked off. That's Japanese? Yeah.
That's Japanese.
They're an odd
they
people.
They are out of their minds, man. It's fantastic. They nailed it. They figured out TV.
The Koreans do some stuff as well, but it's mostly Japanese. I don't know if this is going to translate to talking, but the best one I've ever seen was they get two teams of guys playing soccer and make them wear binoculars strapped to their head, and they try to kick this ball around, and they just can't see the ball.
I've seen
it's
that.
The fucking funniest
I've
thing.
Seen that. That's
I've watched
great.
It a thousand
but that's
times.
Just what I'm
They're
saying.
They're like kicking the floor really yeah. hard. Like their sense of perception is. Totally
well, like, how do you
up.
Do stand-up when that's, like, what
but that, but
makes
we're not
people
that's,
laugh?
That's not China,
different
though.
Different country.
That's a different country.
But that is that just
now,
in
just
Japan
they,
or just in...
Well, I don't want to break your heart here, but Chinese people don't like Japanese people.
Okay.
Not fans. Not big fans. So their culture doesn't...
You've heard of the Rape of Nanking, that, perhaps?
That was a thing.
You know?
I'm aware.
So, yeah, that's not really influencing
I'm just confirming that that's not really the... That's not the case in China.
I'm thinking about bringing
comedy.
It back. Now I'm seeing you guys laugh at it. I'm like...
See, I would think that China was super conservative as opposed to Japan. That's a little bit more...
Japan is very conservative in terms of... You hear about their business where they all... Hey, you know, like every morning before work, they have like calisthenics.
They commit seppuku.
That's their routine.
Well, they're very, like, you know, at work, they have their very, it seems to me from what I've heard, at work, they're very straight-laced. And they have, like, you know, everybody knows their place.
Really?
Yeah, that's super Japanese. I can't speak to it that much because I have only been there like once.
But then when it comes to pornography and game shows,
they
really
crazy.
Let loose. It's like the Germans. The Germans, of course, have a reputation for being very, very precise, and yet they're defecating on each other.
That's what my buddy says, because you know that legally in Japan, they have to blur out the genitals. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Yes.
By schoolgirl panties and vending machines.
Well, that's what my buddy's like. He's like, they can't see the genitals. They got to go in a different direction, so they just poop on each other. That's the backup plan.
I don't know. That seems like a weird backup plan.
Yeah.
I would think of at least four other things I'd rather do than have shit on me.
On you. Yeah,
I think after being pooped on once, I'd be like, can we just not blur it? That's enough.
Well, pooping is something that you may even think you're into, but like
well,
watching it.
Well, it's one thing to see it in
and
a video
then, yeah,
where the smell is
but
not
the,
present.
When you see the smell, then you're like, oh, I mean, you smell the smell. Like, I got to imagine that's not pleasant for anybody.
Once you realize there's peanuts in there, it's all over.
Well, just like puke. Like, who wants to smell puke?
This is great.
Yeah, when you can't smell it, it really makes a big difference.
When you can't smell it, it's very attractive.
Well, it's
the
not
smell.
It's,
that's the problem.
It's warm.
Well, the smell is the major problem.
But for
comforting
people yeah, who can't smell love it. It's the greatest.
Anyway, so you book Americans, you bring people over from America to your Shanghai show, or to do a run.
Yeah, well, because it's so expensive to get people out there, you got to make it work.
Yeah.
So we do a bunch of cities. You know.
I don't know if you have the budget from Michael Che or not.
Do you have the mask?
What's the mask?
You have to wear, like, gas mask when you go to China.
Oh, because there's a lot of pollution.
Yeah.
There is a lot of pollution, but it's fine.
I've seen Chinese people in gas masks. Don't tell me it's fine.
When he first went there, his mustache was brown.
Yeah, this is what happens. This is pollution. It's a block of pollution on my upper
oh,
lip.
No, it's like Total Recall where you start to...
I just saw the updated Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah?
And so that now I have China on my mind a little bit.
Karate, the Japanese?
The Karate Kid. The update
martial art. With Jaden Smith?
The one with Jaden Smith where he goes to China.
I haven't seen it, but karate's definitely Japanese.
No, but in the movie, it's kung fu.
Oh, so they didn't tell, they fucked it up and they didn't
tell. So they call it the Karate Kid, but in the movie, it's kung fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu is Chinese.
And instead of having him paint the fence, he has him hang up his jacket. There's a lot less of that. Okay. Did you see the film?
No, I didn't see the remake.
I don't know if this is this a serious statement? Or
yeah.
Just
did you see Karate Kid, the original, where you had to paint the fence?
Yeah.
Sand the floor?
Sand the floor.
They didn't do it. In the updated version, it's just he's hanging his jacket up on a...
Mr. Miyagi, Pat Moriarty.
Oh, the best.
No, right. Pat Morita.
Morita, there you go. I have an accent. That was like...
Pat Moriarty is Irish.
Pat
Moriarty.
Pat Moriarty.
Pat Moriarty is Sherlock Holmes' archenemy, I think. But anyway, the second Karate Kid, the remake with Jaden Smith, takes place in China.
I haven't seen it. Can we pause and I'll chuck it on?
No, you don't have to. I don't know if they're in Shanghai or so. Maybe they're in that other place.
I'd say something. They film a lot of movies in Shanghai now because the Shanghai film cinema market is just massive. But China only lets in 20 foreign movies a year.
Wow, look at
that. If you filmed...
That's why they make so much dough. Like, when you see a movie bomb here, and you think, why would they make another one? It's because they made so much money in China. Like, Terminators, like, all those. That's who watches that shit.
Warcraft.
Ninja Turtles. Yeah, Warcraft
crushed
they,
China.
They
really?
Have a,
yeah.
Love it. Are they subtitled or dubbed?
It depends which cinema you go to, but usually... I mean, I go to the ones... Because I always go with my wife, so it's got English and Chinese on the bottom.
Your wife is Chinese? Is she?
Russian.
Oh, she's right. That's why you speak Russian?
Correct, yeah.
Wow. When did you know, like, I just want to know all the languages?
I don't know. There's many more than those three. But I like it, you know?
I feel like for a English-speaking white guy to learn a bunch of different languages, that's pretty
impressive.
And
distinct languages.
Because
like
the
Russian
whole world will say, we will catch up to you, dude. And you're still like, no, I want to know what you're doing. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I think for Chinese to be white and to speak Chinese perfectly or nearly perfectly would be an incredible
thing. That's insane.
I don't know if that's your level, what your level is exactly.
I mean, I don't want to say perfect. There's plenty of guys that speak better Chinese than I do out there.
Like eight?
Seven. No, but like, you know, I don't, when you meet someone who's Chinese and they're speaking, but they're making a lot of errors and they've got a big vocabulary, but you can understand them and you can communicate. It's like that, I would say. But and another thing.
When I'm speaking English with a Chinese person.
Or someone who doesn't speak English natively, you know.
Right.
So you sound like a waiter.
Like I have an accent, but sometimes on the phone they think I'm Chinese, but generally they'll pick up on it, you know, like because you don't know the best way to say something or the most local way.
Right. And there's probably a lot of topics you might not have the vocabulary for. Like if I said I need a Phillips head screwdriver, you know, my guess is you wouldn't know the word for Phillips head screwdriver.
I know screwdriver, but not Phillips head screwdriver. Okay. Actually, I do know it.
Oh, do you?
But there you go.
All right.
Sorry. Look at that.
But because I run a comedy club, we're always screwing shit into the walls.
How do you say screwdriver?
螺丝帖子.
Wow. All right. I can't.
Like you would know if he was making no shit up. Anyway.
Every Chinese person listening is like, that's not it. He's lying. Full of shit. The other thing is that doing stand up in Mandarin, you know, if you ever see someone who doesn't speak English natively perform in English, the crowd is a little forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's the same the other way. You can make, and the Chinese comics make fun of me. Because I'll say the wrong word and get a laugh. And they're like, what the fuck? You say something stupid, you get a laugh. I'm like, well, I'm up here.
Yeah, the accents are funny, too. Just accents are funny.
They'll laugh at me saying the word wrong or something like that. I'm basically hack. Man, I'm kidding.
Right. No, I think there's like a universal kind of, you know, admiration for people that take risks like that. That takes a lot of balls to get up in front of... You know, Mandarin speaking audience and
ni hao,
do comedy, and I mean that's pretty. Doing comedy stand up period is.
It's scary in it. I mean, there's
itself.
A fearful in any language. Right. Actually, no. I tell you this: performing in another language, you lose a little bit of the judgment element. Like, you know, in English, you kind of can feel people thinking about you, especially when you're starting out. But in Chinese, it's like I don't give a fuck what these people think. You just have that. And the Chinese comedians say the same in English, the ones that do it the other way. They're like, it's not the
same. Can you improv in Chinese? A little bit?
A little bit. And the other thing is that anything you say is going to get a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
If they say something to you, you're like, I don't understand what you said. They'll laugh at that, right, okay. You know?
Do you get nervous doing stand-up, Mike?
Hmm?
Do you get nervous getting back into stand-up or like after you've been doing... Like, being regular?
You get nervous. I don't like to say nervous because it's not necessarily nervous. It's more like you get anxious where you're like, I want to get to it and I want to get in the rhythm. You want to kind of just get in the water, but it's not necessarily nervous. I think nervous is like the reason why you don't want to do something, but yeah. Anxious is the reason why you want to do it.
Right.
But it's the same kind of feeling. And I feel like you never get rid of anxiety in comedy. I don't know. Dan, is that...
It's getting worse for me. No, it really is. I don't know why, but...
I don't think you ever get rid of it. I think everybody, like, we did the roast battle thing. I was judging the roast battle with Dave Attell, and we were backstage, and Jeff is on, like, about to bring us up or whatever, and we're both kind of, like, pacing and looking, and I'm like... I don't think it. I mean, if Dave Attell still feels a little anxiety in his stomach before then he gets on stage, I don't think anybody's gonna not. You know, like Who's done more comedy than Dave? But you know, but it's not nervous. It's more like you just want to kind of get out there.
Football players that like puke and shit, right?
Yeah, I get. It's weird. I get nervous before I go up, but I'm never nervous on stage.
Oh, really? Yeah. Once you're on
last
there,
night,
just...
I did a show in West Virginia.
West Virginia.
With Rachel Feinstein, and I was super nervous because, like, I was like, what, on a Monday night, what kind of show is this with a Puerto Rican and a Jew? And I was super nervous, and I just went up there, and first joke killed, and then I did 30 minutes, which I hardly ever do. Huh. It was just rocking.
Yeah. It's always those places that you, when you second guess what it's going to be like, that end up being, oh, I can't believe that shit was fun. Like like West Virginia.
Yeah.
I remember one year in comedy, I was doing like a bunch of colleges, and I had flown to Indiana maybe 6 times in like a span of 6 months or so, which is like more than anybody who doesn't live in Indiana would ever be. And like parts of Indiana I didn't even fucking know existed.
Right.
But everyone, I was like, oh, this is going to suck. But it doesn't. It's great because they don't get a lot of shit over there. So they're like pumped to see something, you know?
Talking about comedy next to you guys, I'm obviously, you know, way lower down the totem pole. But
me, how am I?
If I'm... Thank you. Thank you for keeping it relevant. But like, I find if I'm too comfortable, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good. And then if I need to have that, like, oh, fuck, is this going to work? To actually step up and do all right.
Right.
Maybe that's just me.
But is it
maybe
like
that goes away?
Like, after you've been doing writing and stuff doing SNL for a whole season, is it refreshed? Do you feel good getting back into it, or is it kind of like...
You feel good, but you also... I never feel like I'm in shape for it.
Right.
I always feel like I go about 8 minutes into material, and I'm like, damn, what other jokes do I know? I feel like I've only written 5 minutes of comedy. Like, I don't remember anything. My brain's not sharp. I can't segue good. I can't bounce in and out of crowd work and stuff like that. Like... Comedy is like a muscle. You really have to kind of get in shape for it. If you do it every single day, your brain just kind of operates differently. And if you don't do it, if I take 2-3 weeks off, it takes me a while before I'm like, you start to see jokes again. You start to riff. You start to know when you're in too long, when you haven't. You can hear yourself better when you're paying attention.
See, Dan, you got to get back in the gym. You know, you're going to be out of
fighting
shape.
Since when I'm not in the gym? What are you
talking
about?
You've been taking a break because of your back.
Yeah, the gym.
Yeah, well, I'm saying this is related.
The proverbial,
like, you're
going to
be out of you're going to be out of your fighting shape.
She's talking about the real gym.
I'm talking about the real gym.
No, I'm talking about...
I know what you're talking about.
The point is, Chris, you tried.
I tried.
Did you find that doing...
She didn't mess it up. You did.
No,
she's talking
about the real gym.
Yes, because we started out the show talking about how you've been not in the gym and taking a hiatus and how you got to get back in. And so I'm bringing it full circle.
All right, okay. Well,
we can wrap it up.
Okay. Call the callback, Dan.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
This guy's rusty.
Really?
It's a comedic device.
Fair enough. Okay, I lose. You win.
Thank you, Simon.
You win that. We do have to. We are done here, pretty much.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, we do an hour.
We didn't even talk about Orlando.
We did, but we didn't talk about it with our friend from Shanghai.
You want to talk about it?
No, I think we covered it well enough. Is it big? Was big news, I assume, in Shanghai?
Yeah. You know what? There was a terrorist attack at the airport when I was on the way out here, but not a serious one. Some guy just let off a small explosive like 2 hours before I got to the airport. Got shut down. My flight got pushed back a day. And that came out, and then on the back of that, it must have been like 6 hours later, the Orlando came. So the two of those things were being just, everyone's like, the world's falling apart. You know, there's stuff happening. I'm not equating the two of them. I'm just saying that it did get picked up in the news that people were reading, for sure.
Yeah, Orlando was like that, too, because a pop singer got killed in Orlando.
Yeah, the same day.
And like 2 days, was it the same day?
And then an alligator ate a baby.
Yeah.
And it was like all Orlando stories. None of them are the same, but it was just all like, what the fuck is in
also
that water?
Also out of Orlando this week, a new ride, Frozen Ever After, at Epcot Center, had a record 5 hour line.
Oh, dude, can I tell you, in China, that's a short line. That's the VIP line.
Well, that's in Orlando. You have to talk about Orlando shit.
Yeah, but I guess that's an inconvenience, sure. Yeah.
I think that's as important as the other things that happened.
I'm just covering.
I didn't scroll down that far in CNN.
I'm just covering
that story.
I'm covering. Well, I did because I'm trying to write jokes for Fallon. So I have those are the kind of jokes that I haven't come up with one for that yet.
Oh,
but it seems like a very
premise.
Ripe topic. It seems like if you can't write a joke about a five-hour line at Disney, maybe you should get out of the joke writing business. But it seems,
or back in the gym, you know.
And it seems like, but it seems like it's also clean and not controversial. The kind of jokes you should be writing for a late night talk show.
Sure.
So that's why I figure
maybe
I got
not this
something.
Week though. I would push that because that's what we call evergreen. You could bring that back in a
month
nobody
or so, even,
and no one cares. So no one's gonna fact check. Like, wait a minute, did that happen?
Right. Yeah, did it open this weekend?
Yeah. You put that in an evergreen pile.
The ever not green.
Ever, Frozen Ever After. It should be called Waiting Ever After. No, that's
Jesus
not that good.
anyway.
Oh, hey, yo. Doing
guys.
Comedy.
I can do better than that, folks.
We're brainstorming,
thank you
guys.
I'm spitballing. Thank you for listening.
Hello, William.
Thank you, Cypher Sounds. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much for having me. I
Andy,
appreciate it.
Curtain.
Jesus
Christ. There you go.
And I am available, but, you know, make me an offer, and we'll see. I do want to go to China. But, you know, we'll see. I prefer business class, obviously, on flights of that length.
You'll have to go to the
you
gym.
You prefer business class?
Prefers.
No one prefers coach.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point.
So your preference is not.
And a special thanks to Michael Che, first African-American host of Weekend Update. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that. Why does he get a special thanks for that?
First African-American to wait for 4 hours.
Because he is by his own admission, a D-list celebrity. I would have put you at B.
I would say E. No.
B plus. C.
I don't know.
Chick-fil-A.
I'll go to One Oak tonight in sweatpants, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, there you go. That's the true test.
That's the test. If I gotta wait in line, if it's a five-hour line for that,
if you can get in.
What about that kid? Now, if you're E, then what about that kid who did all those imitations at his high school graduation on YouTube?
Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
He's higher than me. I don't know where he is.
He's on Ellen. He's an A-lister.
So anyway, thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. And Chris Montella, Chris Gonzalez or Rodriguez, I forgot the name.
Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Gonzalez?
She married one of your people.
Yeah.
You should keep a list of everyone just in there, a piece of paper.
Yeah, now you don't feel so bad, right? He doesn't even know
what
my last
are you
name.
Writing down?
We've been co-hosting
Pardon?
The show
what
for
What have
eight
you been
years.
Writing down?
What do you mean, what have I been writing
down? You
have
papers with nobody's
this
name
This is my, I don't need them anymore, but this was my jokes from my Fallon submission.
You brought your jokes where you didn't write down the guest names.
I know most of the guests, and I figured I'd remember Andy Curtin.
It's a cryptic last night.
Damn it, Dan.
She's still
Damn
basically it, Chris Montella.
I'm Chris Montella.
Okay, thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.